is Capital Games. I am the Wiz. We're going to start this week with the gaming news roundup by talking about the big game that is coming out this week. I got it, and this is not something I usually do normally. I usually wait for a period of time before it gets on sale to purchase this game, but I really wanted to play this game. So we're going to talk about the big game that is coming out officially on Tuesday this week, and that is Diablo 4. I got the Ultimate Edition. I wanted all the knickknacks and stuff that came with it. I don't usually buy new games right off the bat, and I especially don't usually buy the Ultimate Editions, but I felt the Diablo 4 one was attractive enough to where I was going to be interested in it, and I played the open beta as well, so I knew that I liked the gameplay and everything, and I'm going to be playing it often. So when the new season comes out in July, I'll be playing that as well. So this purchase seemed right for me, so I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and purchase it, and I'm going to get the Ultimate Edition. I'll get the 4 extra days, and I think that's kind of worth it for me. It's not for every game, it's not for every gamer, but I felt in this circumstance, I was okay enough to do that. If you're not, I completely understand. That is up to you. I definitely get it. Most times I would not. But in this case, I did want to do it. And I went ahead and took the jump. I've played about 12 hours since it came out on Friday. That's an estimation. The problem with Battle.net is that, or Battle.net, is that they don't show the amount of time at which you've played the game. So I'm just guesstimating here, but I'm at about level 25, I think. 24 or 25. So I'm halfway to the point where endgame starts. And I am doing a bunch of side quests. I'm starting to get done with strongholds. I kind of want to get my... I'm a druid, and I want to get my spirit bond, so I'm doing a lot of different things in the game while going through the story. I don't like to min-max. I like to take my time, breathe into the world, and if I don't complete it and I don't feel compelled to, I don't. That's kind of why I don't review games in the traditional sense. I just play the game, and if it's fun and I like it, I say so, and if I don't, I say so, and I stop. That's kind of how I like to do it. But with this game, I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm actually enjoying the combat and everything. And there have been a couple times where I've gotten killed. I just took a stronghold when I got off of Diablo 4 today. Well, I got killed like 3 or 4 times in that. The game is a little bit more difficult than it was on Diablo 3, so I will say that. But I am using a build as well. That's the one thing I would suggest right away on this, is that if you're going to start, find a build guide in this, because this is not like Diablo 3, where I did it for the campaign, and I also did this when the endgame part started, is that I just used what items I got and tailored around my character to the items I have. That's what I did in Diablo 3, and you really can't do that in Diablo 4. So my first suggestion to you is, if you're going to play this game, find a build. Figure out what you want to do, and then when that sounds good, follow that build. You get gold in this game, and respecking is easy, but it costs gold, and the farther in you get, the more gold it's going to cost, and that could be pretty pricey if you figure out that your build is not working. So I would suggest a build guide right away, and that's what I'm doing. I'm a druid who is, it's called the Earth Bear Landslide caster. I am a druid, so he'll turn into a bear every once in a while, but it's really about casting spells. So that's the character I'm using right now. I was expecting to play more of a tanky character. I liked playing paladin and barbarian on Diablo 3, but I was like, I'll try druid. But it just turns out that I'm playing druid as a caster, so that's funny, but that's also fine. I don't care. I definitely enjoy playing druid. I am having a lot of fun. The combat's good. I like the way the game looks, the way it sounds and everything. I did come across some slowdown on Friday in certain dungeons. So that was really the gist of what I had in this when it came to technical problems. I haven't had problems logging in. I haven't had problems with any other technical problems. I know some have had problems with getting into the scenery. I haven't had that issue yet. But on the other hand, though, I'm also not using the evade. I keep forgetting I have it. So I don't really use that all that often. So that's probably why I haven't been stuck in telemetry at all in this. The game does a lot of different things that Diablo 3 didn't do. It seems like the emphasis in this game with the campaign is not gear. It is basically just finding the right tools to augment the abilities you have. And people are complaining about this, but I think this was the same way in Diablo 3 too, where if you start leveling from 1 to 60, or in this game is 1 to 50, I think, you're going to want to replace gear all the time. So it really doesn't pay for you to invest in any gear. All you need to do is make the numbers go up. That's all you need to do. It's not until end game where you decide, okay, so I need X gear with Y abilities and Z stats in order to actually get my build right. In the level 1 through 50 or 1 through 60, that really wasn't what you were doing in that case. But it seems like in Diablo 4, a build is very important in this game, but you're still replacing gear as time goes on. So the emphasis on gear in the campaign, there's much less emphasis on it. So what you're basically doing is you're throwing away gear left and right to make the numbers go up, essentially. Which, again, reviews are complaining about that, but that's kind of how it was in Diablo 3 as well. And I know some people didn't like Diablo 3 for aesthetic reasons. I think Diablo 3 is my favorite Diablo. I actually really like Diablo 3 a ton. I didn't play it when it originally came out. I'm talking about with the Reaper of Souls expansion. But I enjoy Diablo 3 immensely. Not sure if I think Diablo 4 overtakes that. It's going to take time. Diablo 3 is just something I would constantly go back to. Not constantly, but if I ever wanted an ARPG to play and I finished like Grim Dawn, or I wasn't really interested in Victor Vran or Van Helsing, and I was like, I'll do another season of Diablo 3. That's fine. Like, that's how I'd get my itch. That's when I would come back to Diablo 3. I think this is going to be the same thing with Diablo 4. I'm just not sure if it's going to overtake Diablo 3 as my favorite one of the Diablo games. I still think my favorite ARPG is Grim Dawn. I think that game is excellent. And I know some people really like Path of Exile. That's a different type of ARPG as well. I would still say check out Diablo 4 when you get a chance. It is a little bit different than what you're used to and what you are used to playing. But I would say check it out. I think it's pretty damn good so far. I'm having a lot of fun playing it. So I'm going to constantly be playing this all week. And I will get into more of it as the week goes on. And this will probably be the game I'll be playing on Friday for the weekly dividend. So check that out when that happens. Okay, so we've discussed Diablo 4. Let's get into the gaming news roundup. The first one is about Diablo 4. And it's the critic response. Diablo 4 gets a mighty 89 open critic rating. Critics praise the story, visuals, and gameplay, while some criticize the de-emphasization of loot drops for the campaign, and that its endgame is incredibly grindy to get to 100. I understand the criticisms in this, because especially when you hear about ARPGs, because you want the loot grind. You want to constantly build your gear to emphasize the abilities that you get. That's what makes these games really good. The issue that I have with some of the critics and the response to the game, I think SkillUp was one that I watched, and he said this as much too, and I do understand the criticism. In all honesty, when you get from level 1 to 50, when you're playing the campaign, the loot really isn't as important when it comes to leveling up from 1 to 50. Because as you level up, you're going to want to get better gear that has better stats. And that's what that is. For me, I want to say, when I play like Diablo 3 and when I play other ARPGs, the way of finding certain gear, going, oh my god, I found this God tier gear, really didn't happen until endgame or towards the end. And yes, when that happens, that's amazing and that's fun as hell. But with the overpowering gear that will help you for like 3 or 4 levels, that really hasn't been a thing for a while. And some might point out, well, actually in this game, it's like this. Maybe Path of Exile, I would say. There are certain types of gear in Path of Exile where you can get, if you get like an early time, you can blow through like 30 or 40 level. Build really works very well. Maybe in that game I'll see that, but for the rest of them, it really is commonplace to, when you find a gear, it might work for you for like 2 or 3 or 4 levels, and then you have to replace it because it's not giving you the stats. If you were expecting that during the campaign, I could see your disappointment. I just don't think it's a fair comparison. What I will say about the endgame being incredibly grindy is true. I haven't gotten there yet, but from what I've heard from a lot of people who have gone through endgame right now is that it is a slog. You gotta do a lot of stuff to get to 100, and the Paragon board that they have on there, it looks cool when you think about the aspects and everything, but in fairness, you're not going to see a lot of that stuff come to fruition until you hit 75 or 80, and that takes a while. So yes, I understand it's going to be grinding, but that's also endgame. And endgame is meant to be something that you want to perfect your gear and perfect your character to a certain point, and that's what you do in endgame. So I do understand the criticism, but I also think those who are criticizing it probably aren't ones that are going to keep coming back to Diablo 3 or Diablo 4. They're just not going to come back to Diablo 4. They're going to play the campaign, and they're going to want that experience that really it's people who play endgame who get that experience. And I think that's been the way it is for a while now. I understand the criticism. I guess for people who are not going to go through endgame after a certain point will have those problems. I just think that expecting that from the level 1 to 50 grind was kind of unfair. Those are the critics' scores. Pretty damn good. Next story, Microsoft could withdraw Activision out of the UK if the appeal does not go through. This is from VGC, and basically it's saying, and this is rumored right now, it looks like if Microsoft does not get the approval from UK, it's looking like that instead of saying, oh, we can't take, we're not going to do it now, they're just going to say, okay, then the UK doesn't get any Activision games, which would suck, but if UK is the only country that's doing that, I don't think I'd give it up either, since it seems like every other country except for the United States right now is having that problem. Now, I will say that if it turns out the US and the FTC wins and says they're blocking it, I can see Microsoft saying, you know what, it's not worth it. We're not doing it. If it's just UK and that has this problem and no one else and everyone else approves it, yeah, this seems like a sound strategy, and it could lead to a deal with the UK government saying, you know what, we'll allow it this time, like, or do something. They have these games come to the UK, go over the CMA. This is only if the US approves it. If the US approves the merger and the UK are the only ones that are not doing it, then yeah, it's a sound strategy. I get it. That's gonna suck for a lot of people who are Call of Duty or Overwatch fans, who then cannot have any access to their game once the buyout goes through. That is going to suck. And that's going to piss off a lot of people. So we'll see how that turns out. I'm still not sure if the FTC will approve right now, but we will see as that time goes on. Final story for today. Jeff Keighley is quoted as saying, E3 killed itself, not competition from Summer Game Fest. Yeah, I have to agree with this, actually. E3 kind of shot themselves in the foot. They've had a lot of developers asking the point of E3, and with a lot of the big developers doing their own streams, it kind of made them less relevant. And then when they had the issues with the last E3 they did, not only that people were just not happy being there, but also the issues of people's personal information getting leaked, that made people very unhappy with the ESA and E3. And then with the issues they started having after the pandemic, before the pandemic too, about getting to get E3 running, it really was something that the ESA did to itself at this point. Maybe they should have scaled smaller at a certain point or tried something a little bit different, but they just didn't do it. As much as I like Summer Game Fest, and I do like what Jeff Keighley is doing, if E3 was still going on, I don't think it would be as big as it is right now. And I think Jeff Keighley recognizes that, and credit to him, he's capitalized. In this end, I don't want to criticize too much on it, but he is right. E3 did this to himself. Jeff Keighley saw the writing on the wall and decided to do his own thing, and it's succeeding. It'll just be interesting to see if Summer Game Fest lasts long in this, because we're looking at a situation right now where a lot of big publishers are going to start doing their own thing, which I still think is a bad idea. I still think it's a bad idea. because I still think having this period of time in June where everyone coalesces to have announcements, streams, conferences, to go over the new things that are coming out in the next 6 months, I think that's really important for the industry and they need to keep doing it. But I see a lot of these companies trying to shy away from it. We will see what happens from there. But Jeff Keighley is absolutely right. E3 killed itself. Okay, so we're going to go through the new releases that are going on this week. And it's kind of a light week when it comes to quantity. But when it comes to like big release, well, there's one big release and then there's some interesting ones sprinkled in there. So let's talk about them. No ports, no releases, and remasters coming. So those are clear. The five new releases that are coming out this week are starting with Amnesia the Bunker. That's coming to PC only on June 6th. That is Steam and Epic Game Store. I have talked about this a couple months back. I have heard great things about Amnesia. I think there was a little bit of a lukewarm reception to A Machine for Pigs. But other than that, people do like the series, and this is going to be one of those series where a bunch of YouTubers are going to watch it, and they're going to react, oh my god, and do that stuff. So this will probably be gaining popularity as time goes. So that's June 6th for PC only. Let's go to the other small releases. June 8th for Switch and PC, Harmony, The Fall of Reverie. This is a Don't Nod game, so this looks like a visual novel slash walking simulator to a certain extent. So if you're into those types of games, like Life is Strange, those types of games, this might be more your speed. I'm not into those games very much, but I know a lot of people who are. God be with you on that one. So if you are interested, that is coming June 8th, PC and Switch. Coming to PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, Loop 8, Summer of Gods. I know a lot of YouTubers who are on the RPG space who are actually excited for this game, but I searched it earlier before I went to do this, and it doesn't look like the game's very good. They say it looks interesting, it looks good, and the concept is interesting. It's like a JRPG with a time mechanic like Majora's Mask, but it kind of falls apart in this. I don't know what the reviews are going to be like totally, but I would say read up on it before you decide to check it out. I know you RPG people are really into your RPGs and you want to grab them as soon as they come out. You might want to hold off on this. So that is June 8th, Loop 8, Summer of Gods. June 8th as well for all systems, MotoGP 23. Yeah, I'm not into motor racing. Sorry, I'm not. But this is a popular series that seems to get a decent amount of sales and people do enjoy this game. I don't know the things that they're improving on it, but again, to each their own. I do like racing games. I just never could get to the moto ones. There's a certain way that they control when it comes to braking that really did not fit well with me. But I know that's or this type of racing vehicles are. If it's authentic, great. I mean, that's for you. I'm just not interested in it, even though I'm into racing games. So you are. It's coming June 8th. And finally, the big release that is coming this week officially, June 6th, Diablo 4. All systems except Switch. I've already talked about it. It's gotten great reviews. It's been out and I've been playing it. And on early access release since June 2nd, I've been playing it. It's a lot of fun. You're interested in it. And if you're interested in an ARPG like that, I would say definitely pick it up. It's a little different from what you might be used to, but I would still say give it a shot. It is a lot of fun, and I am definitely enjoying it. Critics are enjoying it. Seems like people who bought it are enjoying it. If you are interested in that type of game, go for it. I don't think you'll go wrong on this one. All right, well, that is it for this episode of Capital Games. This week, I'm going to go through the gaming news roundup on Wednesday and Friday. Friday will be the weekly dividend where I will be playing Diablo 4 on the video. Tuesday, me and Zero are going to do a review for Pride Month of But I'm a Cheerleader. That is the movie starring Clay Duvall, Natasha Lyonne, and RuPaul. I am interested in that. That looks pretty funny, so I can't wait for that. Saturday, me and Kim Shackman are going to be watching and reviewing A Single Man starring Colin Firth and Julianne Moore, directed by Tom Ford. I've wanted to see that as well. Colin Firth got an Oscar nomination for that for Best Actor when it came out. And that got some decent reviews when it came out too, so I'm interested in seeing how that is. And then Sunday, I'm going to do a solo review of a movie I've been wanting to watch called Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So look forward to that as well. That came out a couple years ago. Critic reception was excellent. People seem to really love that movie, and I really want to check it out myself, so I will definitely check out that movie as well and review it on Sunday. Well, on that note, this is it for this episode of Capital Games. Tune in next time where I talk about the going-ons and happenings of the gaming industry. I am the Wiz. Talk to you next time. Bye.